boxes driving rapidly in the direction of Reading early this morning, with the pseudo inquiries there, of course, but the trail seems to have gone cold. We also found considerable quantities of nickel and tin stored in one of the outhouses. No coin, unfortunately. Probably in those boxes.
More than likely.
Inspector Bradtree!
Oh, no.
Yes, Fielding? Can we move the metal now, sir? I'll come down.
Did you want to examine it, Mr. Holmes?
Later, perhaps.
I'll have it sent down to the station.
A moment, Inspector. I have one small piece of evidence for you.
What's that, Mr. Holmes?
This.
Holmes.
It was found by one of the firemen upon a windowsill on the second floor. Perhaps I should have returned it to Mr. Hatherley, but then I doubt if he's any further need of it, despite his previous attachment. Bradstreet.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. Well, this had better go to the station as well.
Fielding!
Well, Holmes, what now? To Reading? See if we can catch up with them?
Little point, I fear. They've had far too good a start.
So, what do you suggest?
What I suggest, my dear fellow, is that with all possible speed we remove ourselves to the local inn. We may yet be in time to sample some of the good Berkshire beef the constable has so heartily recommended.
Although our trip to Berkshire did not produce the tangible result Holmes had undoubtedly wished for, I, for one, still savour the taste of the succulent slices that were placed before us that day. I have no knowledge as to whether the hydraulic engineer acted on Holmes' advice for capitalizing on his most singular experience or not. However, a week after our return, Holmes did receive a note from Hatherley thanking him for his assistance and inviting him to forward his accounts for services rendered. Needless to say, Holmes did not comply with this request. As for the sinister Colonel Lysander Stark, his assistant Ferguson, and the beautiful German woman, to all intents and purposes, they simply vanished off the face of the earth, and nothing has been heard of them from that day to this. For his part, Holmes never referred to the matter again. Understandable, of course. Few people like to be reminded of their failures, although, in this case, lack of success would be nearer the mark. But I doubt if Holmes would acknowledge or accept the distinction.
In The Engineer's Thumb, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Merrison and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams. Victor Hatherley was played by Stephen Tomkinson and Colonel Lysander Stark by John Moffat. With Sybil Winthrop as Elise, David Googe as Inspector Bradstreet, Vincent Brimble as Ferguson and Constable Fielding, and Paul Downing as the railway guard and the fireman. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Engineer's Thumb was dramatized for radio by Peter Mackey and directed by Patrick Rayner.